No, can you tell the Lord, Lord, I won't remain the same. I won't remain the same. I won't remain the same. My life won't remain the same. My life can't remain the same. My life can't remain the same. Oh, Karibaka Zeta Kayada Basutayada. Jesus. We're going to sing a hymn. We're going to sing, "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well." This year, your confession, it is well. It is well. It is well. All right, so let's stand on our feet. Let's take the hymn together.
Oh, my soul, say it is well said.
Just lift your hands. Let's thank God. And declare it with your mouth. It is well with my soul. No, make it a confession of faith. It is well with my soul. Please say it loud. Say it is well with my soul. In 2025, it is well with my soul. It is well with my family. It is well with my children. It is well with my business. It is well with my life. It is well. It is well. It is well. 2025, it is well. It is well. Oh, glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you for this year. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive the glory. Receive the praise, oh Lord, our God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, because our sins, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. You nailed it to the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord. Receive the glory. Thank you for this first Sunday of the year 2025. Thank you because you brought us here to bless us. Thank you, Jesus. Receive the glory, oh God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's all be seated, except those who were born in January. If you were born in January, stay standing. Can we celebrate all the January babies? All the January babies. Glory to God. If you are sitting near any of them, just greet them. Tell them happy birthday. You are the one starting this year for us. Amen. Happy birthday to you all. Father, thank you for all those that you graciously brought forth into this world in the month of January. Father God, I pray, God, that since this is the beginning of a new year, God, let this be the beginning of new things for them. Father God, let them experience grace, multiplied grace upon their lives this year. Father, let this year be much greater, better than last year. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. So we thank God who has brought us to this new year. And being the first Sunday of this month, you know that this evening we are coming back for the forum at 4 p.m. Okay? At 4 p.m., it's Lord, Father, terminate my delay. Terminate my delay. So this evening is not particularly a relationship meeting. It's the Lord has shown me 7 graces that must be released into a man's life for the termination of delay. Any kind of delay. 7 graces that must be released. And we'll be talking about that in the evening, and then we'll be praying. Anything that has delayed in your life, there must be a turnaround in the name of Jesus Christ. So that will be at 4. If you have people who you need to invite to be here at 4, please do that. This morning, I want to talk to you about knowing you are in Christ. This is the first Sunday of the month, and I sensed that there was a need for us to check again. Am I really in Christ? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. Knowing you are in Christ. Knowing you are in Christ. 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He said, I am writing these things to you. There is a reason I'm writing these things to you. Those of you who believe on the name of the Son of God. Those of you who believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, I'm writing this to you so that you know. You are fully persuaded. You know beyond a doubt that you have eternal life. Those of you who believe. Now, so eternal life that he's talking about is not when we get to heaven. He said, I want you to know that right now you have eternal life. The life and the nature of God in your spirit. Those of you who believe on the name of the Son of God. John 20. John 20, verse 30. Apostle John was concluding his letter in his epistle, really, in John chapter 20. And then he made a very profound statement in John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He said there are many things that Jesus did that this book, in fact, he said that if we were to record every single thing that Jesus did, if the whole world was a library, it's not enough to contain the books that should be written regarding all that Jesus did. He said, but we've made a selection and we've written these things. We've written these things so that you might believe. We've written these things so that you might believe. Believe what? That Jesus is Christ. He's the Christ of God. He's the anointed one. He's the one that Isaiah spoke about. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. That you might believe that Jesus is not just a prophet. That Jesus is not just a good man. That Jesus is not just one of those good teachers. That Jesus, he is the Christ. He is the Christ, the one that the angels announced that you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to know that we are writing these things so that you might believe. So that you might believe that this Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. This is the Son of God. This is not just a prophet. This is not just a good man. This is the Son of God. This is the one who changes people's lives. This is the one who gives eternal life. That Jesus is the Son of the living God. And that so believing, you might have life. You might have life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you may have Zoe. I came that you may have life. I came to introduce a different kind of life and that you may have this life until it overflows. So believing, you might have life through him. There are many people in church that don't have the assurance, the certainty that they know for sure that Christ lives in their heart. They come to church. A pastor who's been pastoring for years went to meet a man of God, an evangelist, and said to him, sir, I need help. What help do you need, sir? I don't know for sure that if I die now, I will go to heaven. I don't know for sure. I have been preaching, but I don't know for sure if Jesus truly lives in my heart. I want to know for sure. I want to know for sure. That was a sincere man. That was a sincere man. He knew that he was lacking something. He knew that he had not caught something. And he was not ready to remain with the status quo. He was not ready to remain with religiosity. He said that so believing, you might have life. And that life is going to be only through him. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. We'll go back to 1 John chapter 3. And verse 23. 1 John 3, 23. Glory to God. It says, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So this is the commandment. The commandment that God has given is that we must believe. We must believe in the name of the Son of God. So everybody says, I believe. I believe, I believe, I believe. Everywhere you go these days, it's fashionable to say, I believe in Jesus. It's politically correct to say, I believe in Jesus. But what does it really mean to believe in Jesus? What does it really mean to say that I have come to put my trust in him? I'll just mention a few things. Number one, If I say I believe in Jesus, it means that I have put the total weight of my life on Christ. I have put the total weight of my life on Christ. I heard the story one time. One man came from France. He was one of these gymnasts. Okay, so he came from France to America. And he announced, made advert, that he was going to put a tightrope from this side of the Niagara Falls across to the other side. So you know the Niagara Falls is between America and Canada. So we put this tightrope across from this side to that side, and he's going to walk on the rope. Have you seen those gymnasts? They put a tightrope and they ride bicycle, they do things on this rope. Have you seen that thing? I mean, you are watching and your own heart is pounding. So this man said he was not just going to put it across a void, but on this Niagara Falls, water crashing. Tons of water crashing per minute. He said he was going to walk across. Of course, people gathered on both sides, the Canadian side and the American side, to watch. And this man really put the rope, and he actually walked across to that side. And he walked back, and he walked across, and he walked back. And then he announced that he was even going to do something even more terrifying. He was going to get a wheelbarrow, and put sand in it, and roll the wheelbarrow on this rope from this side to that side and back. And he did it. Roll the wheelbarrow from this side to that side and back. People started clapping and cheering. Then he said, now the next thing he's going to do is that a person is going to sit on this wheelbarrow, and he will roll the person from this side to that side. People were happy. They were jubilating. So the man just looked at one man in the front. The one that he's shouting was the loudest. He said, sir, would you mind sitting on this wheelbarrow? The man disappeared there. Faster than the speed of light. Actually, I don't blame him. I would disappear too. Now, so what does it mean to put your trust in Christ? What does it mean to believe in Christ? To believe in Christ means that you've trusted him. To put the whole weight of your life on him. Some people say that they believed in Christ, but they've not trusted him with their lives. They are still going here, going there, looking for other means. Oh, there are many people who were in church, watch night service. As soon as the service was over, they also had to go to some babalawo somewhere. Because you see, you can't really be sure if this Jesus can truly, truly say what he says he will do. So let's have a backup. Let's have an ochuko somewhere. That person has not come to put trust in Jesus. Help me tell your neighbor, say Jesus is enough. Tell another person, say Jesus is enough. When you put your trust in Christ, when you come to believe in him, it means that you have entrusted him with the whole of your life. Your future, your marriage, your finance, your career, everything, the whole weight of your human personality is on him. You've trusted him for protection. You've trusted him for provision. You've trusted him for everything. You've come to put trust in Jesus. You put the total weight of your life on him. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 1. 1 John 5 verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ. Now, so when I say I believe, it is not a mental construct. It is not an agreement in my mind. It will affect my life. It will affect my life. It will affect my allegiance. It will affect the way I live my life. When I say I have come to put trust in Jesus. So the first sign that I have put trust in Jesus is that everything about my life is thrown on him. Real faith carries with it the idea of commitment. The idea of commitment. I've committed my life to the Nazarene. I've committed my life to the man of Calvary. I've committed my future to him. I remember when I gave my life to Christ in 1986, and we were singing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's commitment. If no one joins me, yet I follow. Yet I follow. That's commitment. Real faith carries with it the idea of commitment, not just mental assent. It's the commitment of your entire life to Christ. Every aspect of your life. That's number one. Number two, when I say I believe in Jesus, I have a changed attitude towards sin. When I say I've come to believe in Jesus, I must have a changed attitude towards sin. A changed attitude towards sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. I'll read all the way to 10. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you have come to him, he said, God is light. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. In him, there is no darkness at all. If I say I have come in him, there is no darkness at all. And then in verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, there is a difference between what I say and who I am, if I'm not careful. It says, if you say that you belong to Jesus and yet you are walking in darkness, it says you are just a liar. Oh, you are just a plain, bold-faced liar. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And I'm walking in darkness. I'm walking in sin. I'm walking in riotous living. Is that, forget what you are saying. Believing is not just what you are saying. It will affect the whole of your human personality. It will affect your attitude towards sin. If you say, what are you saying? Yeah, thank God for what you are saying, but does it correspond with how you are living? Does it correspond with how you are living? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, so some people pick this scripture, they say, you see now, so everybody has sin. That's not what the Bible is saying. When you are reading the Bible, you read it in context. He said, if you are walking in darkness, and then you come to be saying that you have no sin, he said, you are lying. If you are walking in darkness, and then you come, you say, I have not sinned, he said, you are a liar. You steal, you kill, you cheat, you womanize, you do all sorts of things. And then you say, oh, I believe in Jesus. He said, you are lying. You say, we must start this year right. Say amen. Amen. Oh, come on, let your amen be loud this morning. Amen. You need to check, am I truly in Christ? And one of the signs to show if I am in Christ is that there will be a change in my attitude to sin. And if I'm a Christian, there are three signs when regarding the issue of sin. Number one, if you commit sin, you confess it immediately. Say amen. Amen. It's not as if when you become a Christian, you will never sin. We're not talking about sinless perfection. There's nobody here who from time to time, even though you are born again, you will not sin. Since this year started, I'm sure I've committed some sins. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe God told me to get up and pray. I slept off. That was wrong. Maybe I was a little bit impatient with somebody in traffic. That was wrong. So, but once you notice that you have done something wrong and you are a follower of Jesus,
Immediately, you commit that sin, you confess immediately. Number two, you forsake it. You forsake it. So a person who wants to live continually in sin, and yet he says he's a follower of Jesus, the person is not a sincere person. I was watching one, you know, there are some crazy people on the internet right now. One girl came and said, I'm a Christian witch. I'm a Christian witch. What a contradiction. You can't be a witch and a Christian at the same time. You have to choose. The other one came, he said, I'm a gay Christian. You can't be gay and a Christian at the same time. It's just like saying, I'm a fornicating Christian. And you are celebrating your sin as if it's part of following Jesus. In Him, there is no sin. In Him, there is no sin. Amen. No, in Him, there is no sin. Anybody that says they are following Jesus, eh? Okay. So, we are all here. We stay in this service all day, all night, till tomorrow morning. And we are just here in the presence of God. Then tomorrow morning, somebody comes and calls Brother Andrew, come. Say, Andrew, come. Why are you drunk? Why are you drunk? Excuse me, when you are watching that person call Andrew drunk, after we stayed here the whole day till tomorrow morning, what will you say to the person? It's not possible. Eh? Is it possible for him to be drunk? Well, we're all here. He was sitting right in front here. We're all worshiping and the rest. Why do you think he couldn't be drunk? Eh? Because there's no drink to drink here. The Bible says, in him there is no darkness. So when I am in him, there is no sin to sin there. So anybody who says he's following Christ and he wants to sin. So let's assume this rock is where Christ is. In him there is no sin. When a person wants to sin, you know, he will say, excuse me, sir, I need to take urgent permission. Very urgent permission. Because what I want to do is not here. May I step out to do what I want to do? So for him to sin that sin, he has to step out and go and sin. Now, so when you make that sin your lifestyle, and then you say you are in Christ, they say, no, you are lying. He said, you are lying. Once a person becomes a true follower of Jesus, his attitude towards sin changes because he recognizes that sin is rebellion against God. So when I sin, I confess it immediately, I forsake it, and I seek after righteousness and holiness. Praise God. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John Wesley, Charles Wesley. These were great fathers of the faith. She had about 17 or 19 children. So one day John Wesley came to the mother and said, Mother, I have a very important question that has been troubling me. The mother said, ask. He said, Mother, what is sin? What is sin? And the mother gave him a classical definition of sin. I want to share with you this morning. And in the next 5 minutes, we'll pray. He said, my son, if anything weakens your reasoning, if anything weakens your reasoning, if anything impairs the tenderness of your conscience, if anything obscures your sense of God, you can't see God very well. If anything takes away your relish for spiritual things, your appetite for spiritual things is dampened. If anything increases the authority and the power of the flesh over the spirit, that, my son, is sin. That is sin. That is sin. So if you are looking for, say, I don't even know whether this thing is sin. Look at it. Does that thing weaken your reasoning? Does that thing impair the tenderness of your conscience? Does that thing obscure your sense of God? Does that thing take away your desire for the things of God? In short, does that thing
empower the flesh over the spirit? If the answer to any of this question is yes, that thing, my friend, is sin.
And the problem with sin is that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will make you pay far more than you are willing to pay. If you don't believe me, ask Solomon. Sin is a killer. And that is why once anybody says, I now believe in Jesus, one of the things that must change is your attitude towards sin. Is your attitude towards sin. You don't make excuses for sin. Temptations will come. I wish I can tell you that this year there will be no temptations. Temptations will come. Temptations come to us every day. And may I tell you that the greater your destiny, the greater your temptations. Jesus was just about to burst forth into the manifestation of God's purpose for his life. Here came the devil with those temptations in the wilderness. We are all going to be tempted. But a person who says, I'm a believer, has an attitude towards sin that says, no. No, I won't go there because I have believed in Jesus. That's why before Jesus was born, the angels announced that you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So a true believer has a correct attitude, looks at sin and says, no, this one is going to... Joseph looked at that woman. He said, excuse me, madam, as beautiful as you are, I'm sorry. I can't do this great wickedness against my God. His destiny would have died on the lap of a woman, just like Samson. But thank God, that young man, if you are a young man here this morning, I want you to know that all those temptations that are coming in your direction, they have only one agenda. Let's finish the grace of God on his life. Let's cut him short. All the awesome things that God has planned for 2025. Let's ensure that he doesn't get them. So, your attitude towards sin. Finally. A desire to obey God. A desire to obey God. A desire to obey God. If you say you are a Christian, there will be this relentless desire to obey God. There will be this burning desire to obey God. There will be this strong push to do what pleases him. In 1 John 2 verse 3, it says, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He said, this is how we know that we know him. This is how we know that we really believe in him. That we keep his commandment. We are obedient to him. We are obedient to him. I may tell you, if God were to open your eyes as you are here, and to see what heaven is holding over your life. And that's why the battle is raging so fierce. That's why the battle is raging so fierce. And that's why the devil wants to keep you in disobedience. Because God himself was speaking. And he said, disobedience, as far as I'm concerned, is like the sin of witchcraft. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you will not even do what I say? The least thing I tell you, you won't do. And you call me your Lord. How am I your Lord? A desire to obey him. One of the things you will find out in the lives of those early believers is that, oh my God, there was this unquenchable desire to obey God at whatever cost. At whatever cost, they had a desire to obey God. Verse 4. And where am I? Chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar. Again, we are seeing what I'm saying and what is actually transpiring must agree. He said, if I say I know him, and yet I'm disobeying him, he said, I'm just a bold-faced liar. I know him, I know him, I know him, and yet I'm disobeying him, I'm disobeying him. He said, you are just a liar. You are just a liar. I hope there are no liars here this morning. I hope there are no liars here this morning who claim to know him, and yet they are not obeying his commandments. Verse 8. Again, so let me skip over to verse 6 rather. He that said he abided in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Verse 9. He that said he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness. So what I'm saying, I don't know what you are saying. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Does that align with your life? Please let me give you number 4 quickly before I go. Number 4. If I say I believe in him, I will be separated from the world. There will be a separation from the world. There will be a separation from the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. 1 John 2, 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man loves the world. You know, the Bible calls the devil the god of this world. So you can't love his enemy and say you are following him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I can't say I love Jesus, I'm following Jesus. Oh, I close from church in the evening. I'm at the club with all the booze. I say, oh, I really love Jesus. You know I love Jesus. Say you are a liar. You are a liar. Do you know the way God created your heart? The way God created your heart is so narrow that there is not enough room for two gods. There's not enough room in your heart for two gods. So he said, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. You either be loyal to one and hate the other, or you hate the other and be loyal to the one. You can't serve God and any other God. It can't be done. And this is why so many believers, so-called, are having a lot of contradiction in their lives. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love God and love the world together. Please listen, you can't love God and love the world together. And that's why I like the drama that the Malachi has acted on that snow, the Watch Night service. Some people are in asylum. They don't know they are mad. They don't know they are mad. And God is the one saying that you can't love me and love my enemy together. And you say, that is how I want to do it. How do you? Are you not mad? Say, that's how I want to do it. I want to love you, but I want to love your enemy too. It can't be done. You can't love God and love his enemy. You can't love God. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He therefore that will be a friend of the world automatically becomes an enemy of God. So how do I know I'm in Christ? Number one, the full weight of my personality, my future, my life. I'm trusting him with everything. Number two, my attitude towards sin changes. I'm not making excuses for sin in my life. What's number 3? A desire. I have a strong desire to obey God. Even this year, you are already asking God, what do you want me to do? What's your plan this year, God? I just want to obey you. Then number 4, separation from the world. Love not the world. You see, some of you need to check the people that are influencing you on social media. The friend of my enemy is my enemy. That's what God is saying. These guys are on social media speaking things, despicable things against God, against the things of God. They are the ones influencing you. They say all sorts of things about the church. They are the ones influencing you.
He said, when you decide for my enemy to be your friend, you automatically have become my enemy. We can't have it both ways. But this is a new year. Amen. It's a year of hope. Amen. It's a year of fresh grace. It's a year where God is calling us to a higher place. A higher place of surrender. A higher place of following Jesus. A higher place of consecrating our lives to Him. A higher place of saying, Lord, I want to believe with all my life. I want to believe with all my heart. I'm tired of all these religious things of coming and going. I really want to follow Jesus completely. And the Lord will release such grace for you to do that in the name of Jesus. I said the Lord will release such grace for you to do that in the name of Jesus. As we pray at this time, you know, like that pastor who came to the evangelist and said, I'm not sure if I die right now, I'll go to heaven. I'm not sure. I've been pastoring for years, but I'm not sure. I don't have assurance in my heart. I don't have assurance that if something happens to me right now that I will make it. Maybe you are here this morning and you too, you don't have that assurance that if you die right now, you'll go to heaven. You don't have that assurance. You don't have that assurance in your heart that your life is right. You don't have that assurance that your name is written in the book of life. You don't have that assurance that all is well with your soul. All is well between you and your God. Or you've been coming to church, but somehow you know that by the, even just the 4 points, there are more points, but just the 4 points we discussed, there are loopholes. This morning, the first Sunday in January 2025, you want to say to God, God, I want to settle this matter. I want to believe with all my heart. I want to believe this Jesus because I know He's the Son of God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you, God, because even in this year, 2025, you are calling us to a new place of, in our walk with you, a new place of consecration, a new place because of what you want to commit into our hands, into our lives. Lord, I'm asking for everyone here who wants to make a fresh commitment of their lives, who want to say, I'm tired of living my own way, doing my own thing. This first Sunday, I want to consecrate my life. If you are here this morning and you are one of those people, you say, my life is not right. There's sin standing in my life. Something is standing between my soul and my Savior. I want to repent. I want to truly commit my heart to Jesus. Put your hand on your chest. Let me pray for you. I want to make that commitment of my life. Put your hand on your chest. Father, thank you for everyone whose hand is on their chest this morning. Thank you because this is the reason why Jesus died. This is why He shed His blood. This is the reason why He's coming again. Lord, I'm asking you, God, as they repent today, God, that you would change them. Please, if your hand is on your chest, just lift up your right hand. Let me see the people I'm praying for. Just your right hand. Lift it high. Lift it high. Wow, many of you. Several of you. God bless you. Can you stand? Let me pray for you. Stand. Stand. Up, down, wherever you are. See those hands up there. Please stand. Stand. This is important that we pray. Several of you. Please come. Come to the altar. Come and say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming. And by coming, I'm saying, I believe you with all my heart. Please come quickly. If you are up, you need to start moving quickly. Please, you need to start moving quickly. Come quickly.
Just as I am without one plea.
Yes. Please, those of you sitting, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them. Several of them. Several of them. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to change you. He's going to transform you. He's going to make you into a child of God. He's going to make you into a child of God. It's going to make you into a child of God.
Lord, I come. Just
no, leave them. Leave this one. Please come quickly if you are coming. Jesus, when He died on that cross, was not just to get people who are interested in Him, but to get followers for the kingdom of God. So if you just like Jesus, you just like Him, you just like him. It's not enough. Instead of looking for people who truly believe. People who truly believe. They will sing that song one more time. Those of you here, I want you to pray. I want you to tell God, I'm tired of being a sinner. I'm tired of being a sinner. I repent today. I want you to change my life. I want you to change my life. Please pray. Sing it one more time while they pray. I can't hear people praying. I should hear voices in the congregation there. Pray in the spirit. Everybody, morning star, pray. Don't whisper, pray.
Of the blood was shed for me.
Please, all of you here, pray.
And that bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, Lord, I come.
Jesus Christ. Jesus, save this one, so God. 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 Break the bondage of the devil. Break the bondage of the devil. Break the bondage of sin. 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 Oh God, change their lives. Morning star, I can't hear you praying. I can't hear you praying. A miracle is taking place this morning. I can't hear you praying. Jesus. Save them, oh God. Save them, oh God. Mighty deliverance. Mighty deliverance. Mighty deliverance. Mighty deliverance. Mighty deliverance. In Jesus' name. I'm led to do something. Now listen. You are in the congregation. You are born again. But you have not been serious with your Christian walk. But you want to tell God this year, it must change. I want to go deeper. I want to be serious. Don't come out. Just stand where you are. Let's pray all the prayer together. I want to be more serious. Stand where you are. I'm born again, but I'm not as serious as I'm supposed to be. Please stand. Please stand wherever you are. And as you stand, I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray and tell God. Please, up, down, everywhere, everybody. I want to be serious in my walk with God. I want to be serious in my walk with God. Father, thank you. Those of you that are standing out, those of you standing there, please pray. Please pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And morning star, everybody lift your voice and pray. Pray in other tongues. Pray, pray. Those of you here, I want you to say this after me. Those of you in front, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent and I ask you to change my heart. Wash away my past. Make me a brand new person. Today, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I receive him now as my Savior and my Lord. Jesus, be my Lord. Take over my life. Take over my life. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. You said if they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they will be saved. Lord, I'm thanking you for salvation for them now. Thank you for breaking the power of the devil over their lives. Thank you for breaking the hold of sin over their consciences, over their hearts. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, that you grant them assurance of salvation. Let them know, God, that you have accepted them. Let them know that they are now sons of the kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for everyone in the congregation standing up to reconsecrate their lives. To reconsecrate their lives. Those of you in the congregation, lift up your hands. Those of you standing in the congregation, lift up your hands. Say, Father, I stand to reconsecrate my life. I reconsecrate my life to serve you more fully, more completely this year and beyond. Father, I receive grace to love you more, to serve you more in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for answering that prayer. Grace, grace, grace released upon their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Those of you here, please look at this sister over there. Turn. Look at this sister. Please just go with her. Just go with her. Now, this is the beginning of a new year. And you know, every first Sunday of the year, we redistribute our tithe cards. So the ushers are going to be moving along the aisles. If you need a tithe card, please, you know that.